Penguin Random House Audio presents Potiphar's Wife by Misu Andrews. Read for you by Lisa Negron. To Jean and Daphne Woodall, your generous hospitality provided the Bank of Jabbok, where the Lord and I wrestled over this book. He won. Thank you, precious friends. Note to listener. Have you read the Bible story of Joseph and Potiphar's wife? Let curiosity compel you, as it did me, to discover her name, Zuleika. In both the Quran and the legends of the Jews, Joseph's notorious seductress is named. The research has been both fascinating and overwhelming. Placing Joseph's life on ancient Egypt's timeline is no small feat. In fact, many scholars deem it impossible. Why would Egyptologists confess such uncertainty? Think about it. If they can't ever be certain, their work becomes faith-based. Or perhaps their search is like mine, a combination of facts, faith, and informed fiction. Though I researched intensely and made every effort to be biblically accurate, I am neither an Egyptologist nor a scholar. The story you're about to hear is faith-based and informed fiction. As with all my books, you'll find more information about the research and creative decisions in the author's note at the end of the book. But beware, it contains spoilers. For now, I hope you'll simply keep listening and meet Zuleika, Potiphar's wife, as you've never known her before. A slave doesn't always wear chains, nor does a master possess all power. Part 1. Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Genesis chapter 39, verse 1. Chapter 1. He shakes the earth from its place and makes its pillars tremble. Job chapter 9, verse 6. Zakros district, Crete, circa 1700 BC. Zuleika. The sea was choppy, angry, spitting its salty mist on my lips. My stomach grumbled, anxious to sample whatever delicacies our Minoan sailors brought home from their 8-month trading season. A group of ships passed at a safe distance from Zakros's sturdy quay. I could barely make out their flags, but the wind eased, revealing the Leaping Bull. Knossos flags, the largest of Crete's districts. My husband's fleet. The oarsman's progress was painfully slow, the wind too strong to hoist a sail. The steersman leaned into the wind, guiding the vessel with one arm on the large oar while holding the raised stern with the other. Hundreds gathered on the sandy shore beside the quay, but crashing waves drowned conversation. Children clung to their Mytera skirts as their sand creations succumbed to the frothy sea. I reached for the ivory figurine tucked inside my belt and rolled the mother goddess over and over in my hand, remembering how the earth had trembled the day before. Had we somehow angered our island creator, the giver of all life? Had the sailors given insufficient offerings during their journey? Sacred mother, my husband is so close to home now. Protect him from the wrath of other gods. Keep him safe until my duties in Zakros are complete, and I can go to him. Mytera pulled me into a sideways hug. Don't worry, my girl. Always remember that Minoan sailors are the best in the world. You'll see Minas as soon as you finish the ledger work for this year's cargo. Duty before pleasure, my girl. I'd heard the same mantra since I was a child. Your sums before painting, Zuli. Mopping before pottery, reading before sculpting. I loved Minas more than my art, but I no longer needed coaxing to protect Zakros district. Duty is my pleasure, Mytera. Longing for a husband is different than a princess missing her pateras. She squeezed me tighter. I know it will be hard to complete your record keeping before leaving for Knossos to see Minas, but your crown prince will have duties to attend to as well. Your pateras will sail with you to Knossos when you finish your tasks. You need not travel overland through the villages. I nodded absently, calculating the cargo on each passing ship to estimate the time my record-keeping might require. If our Zakro ships returned with the same bounty, it could be a week before I saw Minos. I'd been responsible for our district's ledgers since I was 13. Numbers for necessary supplies and census figures ran through my mind like the blood in my veins. But I'd never before tried to concentrate on them while yearning for a husband. I don't know how you've endured so many years of Pateras's seafaring. She released me. There's no other choice, Zuli. How would Zakro survive if Queen Daria or King Rehor decided to skip a year of trading? She spoke of herself as Queen Daria, and Pateras as King Rehor only when teaching me the hard lessons of royalty. When Rehor steps aside, and Minos becomes king, you'll become the first queen to rule over 2 Minoan districts. If Minos never went trading, our people would be deprived of their queen's gracious and efficient rule. And think of what a mess our well-meaning husbands would make of our island. We shared a wry grin. My mentor and confidant was right, of course. Though I missed my husband, Crete was as unique as the octopuses in our waters, largely because of the vibrant women who ruled most of the year. We lived differently from other lands. Men and women sacrificed and celebrated together in 4 separate kingdoms on a single island, living in relative peace. Another boat passed with the Knossos flag. Searching frantically, wind and ocean mist blinding me, I didn't recognize the oarsmen. When I finally see my husband, I shouted over the waves, he'll not leave my sight for a week. Why do you think your Pateras and I spend so little time at welcome feasts? My Tara winked. We giggled like young girls as the last Knossos ship sailed past. It was close enough to make out the steersman. Kostas! I waved at my brother-in-law, the second of King Minos's sons. Minos is usually steersman. I wonder why... Dawning fear stole my breath. My Tara braced my shoulders. You can't imagine the worst first. Rehor would have sent a messenger if anything happened to Minos. Unless it happened in these rough seas. King Rehor's standard, someone shouted. Everyone turned as the next fleet approached from the east. Pateras flew a flag bearing an octopus, our district's 8-legged symbol, a fascination that initiated trade conversations in every port. Anticipation of our reunion, heightened by angst for my husband's welfare, sent me into the angry sea to wait. I fought to stay upright, as the salty force of it battered me toward shore. Pateras stood like a god at the stern, pushing and pulling the heavy steersman's oar while riding the bucking ship like a galloping horse. No statue sculpted from the rock crystal cliffs of Crete could fairly represent King Rehor. Pateras! I shouted over the rough water and wind. Pateras! Letting the water buoy me, I leapt and waved both arms. He raised his hand in reply and steered the ship toward the quay. 6 others followed. 30 oarsmen, 15 on each side, moved in perfect rhythm to pull the sleek and sturdy cargo ships through the fiercest waves. I was proud to be Princess Zuleika of Zakros, but I'd also married the Knossos Crown Prince. When I glanced toward the horizon beyond our ships, no more sails approached. Where is Minos? I swam toward shore, my strokes cutting through the waves, my legs churning, and arrived before the lead ship docked. I hurried to the quay and noticed a scuffle near my Tara. A palace servant had slapped my childhood friend. Leave me alone, Gaios! Psst! He dismissed her with a flip of his hand. Don't be so sensitive, Aronia, he called as she ran from him. Lover spat, I teased when I reached him. Something like that. Though he was slender and barely taller than me, women seemed to flock to him. His impish grin was likely part of the reason. Other women on this island are much friendlier. My street urchin friend had an arrogance born of resolve. When we reached my Tara, a sea breeze made me shiver. Gaius removed his cloak and placed it around my shoulders. The dove I sent yesterday returned, princess. The message read, Zakros hooked giant fish. Knossos eats tuna. It said, giant fish, I clarified. Not whale.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?